Hello, this is Janet Meshuggah Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Our topic, power prayers, and also remember, power prayers, yes, our communication with our Father. Nothing could be more important to you. That is your lifeline. We can't go through a fallen world without having our lifeline to eternity, to God Himself. We've been talking about the fact that Jesus said for us to watch and pray several times. And then also, most recently, where one of the disciples said, teach us to pray. And we've begun on the Lord's Prayer now. And I don't want you to glaze over, because there's been a lot of sermons preached and lessons taught on the Lord's Prayer. But it's never too much, because we can't talk about prayer without talking about how our Lord instructed his disciples to pray. And we got to the part where he had talked about the fact that the power is not in repetition. The power should not be for other people to see, as far as, oh, they're so spiritual because they have such elaborate prayers. And we talked about that a little bit. If you've missed any of these, please go back and catch up. So I want to begin with, we said, in this manner therefore pray. And we talked about where he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You have a Father. It's the Lord. And he is worthy to be praised. And that's the way we approach him, with great reverence and love. And then it says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. What is that about? What is a kingdom? It's the rule of someone, isn't it? Well, we know that when man fell and was alienated from God, the alienation took place in the spirit, as far as not being able to hear him on the inside in the way that we should be able to, without a lot of interference. Now, you may say, well, I still have a lot of interference. Well, imagine how it would be if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you. And we need to learn to tap into the Holy Spirit within us. The kingdom of God now is the Holy Spirit in us. Why do I say that? As I said, the kingdom is someone's rule, the rule of a king. Isn't that true? We could not. We know the scripture that says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It can't understand the law of God. It is an enemy of the law of God. Without Jesus Christ and now the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we could not have that ongoing communication with our Father, so that he truly could rule through us and he could be manifest through us. The kingdom of God is not limited to his power in us, but for now it is demonstrated in this world through us. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, and yes, that scripture references the gospel, but as an extension of that, God's rule in us through Jesus Christ. So here he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? Completely. There's no breakdown in communication between God and the angels, God and the ministering spirits. He is all in all. There's no flesh barrier. You see, our fallen flesh, and again, I'm not talking about this flesh body that you're looking at specifically, although it is impacted by the flesh. I'm talking about that way of thinking, the flesh mind, the carnal mind, the unchanged mind, the mind that has been formed by your experience. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The mindset that's been formed by your experience, including your hurts and all of those things, your complexes, prejudices, experience, and all, your relationships, all of those things. That doesn't help us, nor does it contribute to us fulfilling the will of God. Remember, Jesus Christ himself, God in flesh, prayed the prayer, not my will but yours. What is he saying? He is God. But yet he's saying, not my will but yours. Not the will of this flesh vehicle that I'm in, but the will of the Almighty, the eternal God power. Because the flesh cries out. The flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to suffer. So when we say here, in this manner pray, our Father in heaven, your name is reverenced, your kingdom come, I want your rule in me, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, this is a two-parter here, if you want to think of it that way. The kingdom has come in me when I accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because now I can be ruled by the Holy Spirit. I can be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I can walk in the light as He is in the light. How is He in the light? He is the light. He's completely in the light. There's no darkness. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. So that the kingdom has come in me, but now there will be that day and time where the kingdom is on earth also. Now it's in the earth through us, but there will be, we know that Jesus is going to establish His kingdom. And there won't be wars and all the things that are going on anymore. He will be ruler. He will be all in all. But in the meantime, He wants to manifest through you and through me. He can reveal His will to us, and we can walk in it. Aren't you glad? Well, let's go past that then. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that has to be established before we can approach Him for our needs. If He is not our authority, if we have not recognized Him as our authority and our ruler, then He has no responsibility to provide. Now, we know that God, He's merciful beyond what we ever would be. But as far as having that child-father relationship, that's not going to happen until we recognize His authority and ask for His will to be done in us as it is in heaven. And then we can say, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. Daily bread. You know, Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. He had this principle of daily bread that goes back to and reflects or mirrors, repeats the principle in the manna, where they would daily go out and gather the bread, and only one day before the Sabbath would they gather enough for 2 days, so that there was no work on the Sabbath, but they had to trust the Lord that tomorrow the manna will be there. And if they didn't obey, you remember, worms would come into that manna and it would become a great stench and a curse to them rather than a blessing. Sometimes we have difficulty in trusting that God is going to do what He said. Well, the answer to that is growing in relationship with Him, because as you know Him, your faith will increase, because you'll see Him as He is. You'll see that it's true that what He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, that He honors His word above His name. A story that I heard several years ago, I may or may not have shared this with you, and it was a true story about children in an had been brought into an orphanage or a children's shelter somewhere in the world, and they had experienced great hunger and neglect, and they found that the children couldn't sleep. Although they were being fed and cared for, they couldn't sleep, and they would be very vigilant all night long. And one of the workers found that what would make the children sleep is to give them a piece of bread to hold. Oh God. A piece of bread to hold. Because now they know they have bread in their hand. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When He did the Last Supper with the disciples, He said, this is my body that's broken for you. Take it. Eat. You see, Jesus Christ is in us by way of the Holy Spirit. He is in our hand. He is in our heart. The Holy Spirit is the seal, the guarantee that what God has said in terms of our eternal destiny is true. That everything we see here isn't everything that we're going to see. Everything we get here is not everything we're going to get. But there is eternal reward, and there is also provision now. And it is based on the principle of daily bread. So that there should be no anxiety. Because we know that as He has provided for today, now He will provide for tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Other translations say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The wrongs. Forgive us the wrongs that we have done. We think of a debt as something we owe, and that certainly applies, but also the debt that is owed in terms of punishment, retribution, that we never have to pay for what we've done because Jesus Christ took the sin of the world upon himself. Forgive us the debts that we cannot pay. And now the contingency there is, as we forgive our debtors, those who have trespassed against us, those to whom we may feel that they have some retribution coming from us. We have to give that to Jesus. There's a lot of, and it isn't the purpose of this message to go into the concept of forgiveness. That would take definitely several days. We may do that at some point, but one thing I do want to share with you about forgiving others is this. A lot of people have a misconception, and so that it's difficult for them to forgive because they think that means that now you feel all warm and fuzzy about what happened to you, or it's wiped out of your mind. No, think of it this way. It's just handing the situation to Jesus. Handing the vengeance. Jesus, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Jesus said, I'm coming and my reward is with me to give to every man according to what his work may be. And we know that the judgment for Christians is based on what we've done in our body. I can't believe that we're out of time. But forgiveness is saying, you know, I have not lived a perfect life. If the Lord can forgive me, then I can allow him to forgive others on my behalf. In other words, I give it to Jesus. As far as I'm concerned, the debt is paid that was owed me, or the thing that was done against me, I don't hold on to it. Lord, I give it to you, because judgment is yours. He is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. And just like he forgave you, he's just with you. He'll take care of what other people have done to you, because if as you hold on to it, you're destroying yourself. It becomes as a poison on the inside of you. Let me ask you this today. Is it difficult for you to give things to the Lord, that you want his rule in your life, but yet you want to be able to hold the things out that you want to deal with yourself? For example, what other people have done to you and what should be done to them in return. You will be so relieved when you finally make the decision to let the Lord take the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the hurt from you. Now, the thoughts that were developed and formed because of that experience don't suddenly go away, and it will continue to come back to you. But you continue to remind your mind that that's in the hands of Jesus. If you want to talk about that with Jesus, because that's not my problem anymore. Do you want that today? Let's pray about that. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Lord, you've said that you've taken our sin and you've separated as far as the east is from the west, that you have covered with your blood our transgression. Lord, we know that you are able to keep that we have given you. And Lord, to redeem us and not hold these things against us. Therefore, Lord, we know that all things need to be put in your hand. Lord, including those things over which we want to have control. Lord, we don't want to have unforgiveness in our lives. We don't want to hold bitterness and hurt. We want to give it all to you and let our heart be open and free from that struggle and that weight. Thank you, Lord. I know that it's possible because you have rebuked and exiled the devourer for our sake through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. and it is in His name and authority and under His blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you're holding on to something, remember that old game we used to play, hot potato? Oh, get rid of it as quickly as you can. Throw it right toward your Savior and Lord. He'll take care of it for you. You'll be so glad you did. And remember this, that I am praying for you.